Good afternoon. It is 1:30, Thursday, March 14th, and I have with me Senator Costello, the Vice Chair. Senator Bishop is in Finance. He may be headed this way. Senator Birch and Senator Gray Jackson, of course, myself, Chair Reinbold. Please disable electronic devices, and thank you to Nancy Hemingway, Eileen, and Natasha, all three of y'all, for your help. We really appreciate it. For committee business today, we will be hearing the governor's appointees to the Board of Dental Examiners, Veterinary Examiners, Board of Nursing, Labor Relations, and Workers' Compensation Board. So it's going to be a busy committee today, and then we will be taking up Senate Bill 44, which is Senator Giesel's bill on health care and health teleconferencing for PAs. So we will be doing that right after. And that's why it's going to be a little bit busy. We've got a lot of really important people online today, so we're going to go ahead and move through these appointees. I want to just ask my staff, was there anybody that we needed to do right now? Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take them in the order that they are on my script. So first of all, we're going to be doing Click Bishop has joined us. Thank you for joining us, Senator Bishop. So first of all, we're going to go ahead and take Dr. Timothy John Waller.
Hi, this is Dr. Waller, and thank you for hearing my concern. For a point of clarification, and I've worked with the governor's office on this, my name is Dr. Jonathan Waller. Dr. Timothy Waller is my dad, and we work together in the same dental office, and I think they had some confusion in the mailing.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because it says Timothy John Waller on both on our iPad and as well as on the script. So thank you, Dr. John Waller, for making that clarification. So please proceed.
Yes.
Tell us why, you know, a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving on the Board of Dental Examiners.
Okay, well, thank you. I have prepared a brief written statement that I'd like to read to you. My name is Dr. Jonathan Waller. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska, attended Monroe Catholic High School. I have an undergraduate degree in physiological sciences from the University of Arizona and earned my doctorate of dental medicine from the University of Louisville in 2004. I have been continuously practicing dentistry since 2004, and I have been practicing dentistry in Alaska since 2007. From 2004 to 2007, I practiced in Minneapolis, Minnesota, working primarily for a nonprofit organization that specialized in the treatment of immigrant and underserved children in the Twin Cities. In 2007, I moved back to Fairbanks and entered into private practice with my father. And then in 2010, I purchased his business and currently own and operate that one. I have served volunteer positions with the Alaska Dental Society, with the American Dental Association, and twice as a restorative leave for the Alaska Mission of Mercy. I'm a firm believer in public service. I view serving on the dental board as a way I can give back to the state of Alaska. I believe that dental professionals have the duty to hold themselves to the highest ethical, moral, and clinical standards. In helping dental providers achieve this, I will be assuring that all Alaskans will be in good hands when they seek the services of licensed dentists and dental hygienists. I bring both knowledge of both private practice and public health concerns to the board. I have experience serving on executive council and committees with the Alaska Dental Society. And I have the desire to have clear, fair legislation that reflects the values expected of the dental community. I look forward to being of service to Alaskans beyond my own patient population. If you have any questions, I'd like to entertain those now.
Okay, I don't see any questions at this time, except Senator Birch has one, actually.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank you for your interest and willingness to serve. I've known your father for a good long while, and I'm just very pleased to see a Fairbanks born and raised dentist interested in volunteering in this capacity. I just wanted to thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator Birch. And, Doctor, looks like it's going to be a pretty quick public testimony because I don't see anybody online, but if you could just hold on. I know you're really busy, so I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. We are opening public testimony. The Board of Dental Examiners, Dr. John Waller, anybody in the room would like to testify? And I don't see anybody online, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Dr. Waller, thank you. I know you have a really busy schedule and have agreed to call in today. Did you have any final closing comments?
Thank you, Chair. No, I do not. I actually kind of started reading up on the dental board and got going with it, and sure appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. I think we got five of your fellow appointees. We like to do all of you together, but we got five of your fellow appointees on Tuesday. So feel free to look back at the script and hear what they had to say. But we wish you well and good luck. We will be forwarding your name. It doesn't mean that we're going to vote yes or no, but we will be forwarding your name. So thank you, Dr. Waller. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So next we will be going to, it looks like, so Dr. Flame is off. Is that correct? He's not on yet. Okay. So he will be calling in. That was actually next on our script with the Board of Veterinary Examiners. So we are going to go ahead and jump down to the Board of Nursing at this time. So Emily, I believe it's Emily Nicole Henry. Please state your name, affiliation, why you'd like to serve on the Board of Nursing.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Emily Nicole Henry. Thank you for taking your time out to speak with me today. I am really thrilled to be a part of the amazing Alaska nurses that I have been able to work with at Providence Extended Care since 2018. I'm originally from Magnolia, Delaware, and graduated from Delaware Technical Community College in 2001. I started working with Christiana Care as a home care nurse and then taking every moment to learn what I could out in the field, as well as taking further education courses through my job there. I got the opportunity to move up to Alaska and start working here, and it has been just an amazing experience. I was asked if I would like to be part of the Board of Nursing, and I was thrilled to get the opportunity to apply and then also be possibly appointed. I'm very excited to promote what I know from my own personal experiences, as well as what I've learned from further education and from other nurses, to be able to help promote and uphold all of these standards from nursing and, you know, care that we take for our patients as well as ourselves. And it's the compassion that I do have for my residents that I take care of now is well known and very well shown between my residents and my staff that I work with. I've worked with a lot of different community organizations, including FFA back home in Delaware, as well as other conservation organizations, including the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the NRA, as well as the National Turkey Federation, excuse me, which then puts me out there with all of the different organizations to be able to promote, along with enthuse other hunters and conservation organizations to be able to work together and help our lands as well as our animals to be able to have them for future generations. If there's any questions that I can answer, please feel free to ask. This is kind of new to me, so I'm very excited to have these type of opportunities.
I'm going to ask any committee members if they have any questions for Emily. Does not look like it. Okay, Emily, yeah, I'm really actually happy you brought up the FFA, Future Farmers of America, because I thought that was a really cool connection that you have, because I think eating healthy and natural foods is really helpful in prevention, and that's really my angle of healthcare, meaning down healthcare costs is prevention. So thank you for that. I'm going to go ahead, because you're the only one today with Board of Nursing, I'm going to go ahead and open and close public testimony. I don't think we have anybody, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, because it's a formal process, so just hold on. And I'll give you an opportunity to make a quick closing comment if you'd like after we're done. So I'm going to go open public testimony for Board of Nursing. Emily Henry, anybody in the room? Doesn't look like it. There's nobody online that I can see, so I'm going to close public testimony. Emily, did you want to make any final closing comments?
I just, with the FFA thing, I have been a part of that since I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I never really got, other than working with the farmers back home, I never really understood the whole eating healthy, being exercising, and until I moved up here to Alaska, and just Alaska has so much to offer for everybody, and I really want to hope to promote that and the healthy lifestyle to be able to promote better health care. So I'm really excited to be here in Alaska, and I can't wait for this opportunity. So thank you again very much.
Okay, thank you, Emily, and we wish you well. Next, We're going to go ahead and take the workers' compensation. There's four appointees to the workers' compensation. We will interrupt it if Dr. Scott Blaine calls in. I will interrupt and go to him because he has an incredibly busy schedule. But we're going to go ahead and do all five of these at the same time before I open and close public testimony. If you can, hold on, appointees. If not, we understand if you need to go. But we're going to go ahead and start with whoever called in first, and that is Kimberly Ziegler. Please proceed, state your name, and why you'd like to serve on this Workers' Compensation Board.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Kimberly Ziegler. I am the Corporate Director of Human Resources at Copper River Seafoods in Anchorage for the last 5 years. I've lived in Palmer for 30 years.
Kimberly,
yes.
Are you
yes.
on a speakerphone? Because it's a lot of static. If there's anything you can do to get rid of that.
I am not on a speakerphone.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed, because you're a little fuzzy.
Okay. Should I speak louder?
Not louder.
No.
Is there a place where you are where there's better cell coverage or not?
I'm actually not on a cell phone. I'm on a landline.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, we're just going to endure it. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. I have worked in both the construction industry in training and apprenticeship and now the seafood industry in human capital management. My interest in serving on this state workers' compensation board is twofold. I feel that's an honor to be considered to serve on this board, and I believe that public service is integral to both personal and professional growth. And secondly, after seeing workers' compensation from the employer side, I'm very interested in learning and participating in the other side of the process, working to address policy issues, and helping to improve the workers' compensation system in Alaska.
Excellent. Okay, I'm going to see if there's any questions or comments from committee members. Well, you got a big task ahead of you, actually.
Yes.
I just think this workers' compensation, we got a couple bills, that are in our committee, and another one I hear is coming. So I hope that you all will pay attention to the bills coming. This is a huge issue for businesses throughout this state and even for union members. It's just a huge issue. So I hope you'll work hard diligently and help us not to be one of the highest costs of workers' compensation. We just had a question from Senator Birch. So, Kimberly, Senator Birch.
Thank you, Ms. Ziegler. Thank you, Chairman. Your transmission or your signal is coming through a lot clearer. I'm just curious as to, kind of rough numbers, number of employees at Copper River Seafoods and just kind of your experience in the kind of the workers' comp realm, if you will, just in a sentence or two through the chair.
Sure. During the off season, we have about 120 full-time employees. During our big season, starting in May, we have up to 900 employees. I cover personally in my office about 40 to 50 workers' comp claims a year, and sometimes upwards of 70. The business that I do that I work in is very dangerous, so we do have significant workers' comp usage. So I definitely am interested in helping to address some of the issues that we have.
That's great. Thank you, and thank you again for your interest in serving this capacity.
Well, that was an excellent question, and I know you have one of the higher risk, working out on the seas is one of the highest risk jobs, so I think your expertise is going to bring some incredible insight to what's going on with workers' compensation. We just heard a workers' compensation and fisherman bill recently. It was just a presentation about two days ago or last week. So anyway, thank you for your interest, Kimberly. If you can hold on, can you hold on just for about 10 minutes?
I sure can.
Okay, excellent. We're going to go ahead and move on to Bradley Austin. He was the next to call in. So Bradley Austin, state your name, affiliation, and why you'd like to serve on the Workers' Compensation Board.
Hello, Madam Chair. Thank you for letting me testify. This is Brad Austin. I'm with Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Local Union 262. I work for the Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee and the training coordinator and instructor for our apprentices. And I got to apologize. I'm kind of fighting a cold, so hopefully I can make it through this. So, I came to Alaska as a child. My dad was a plumber and we moved to Alaska in 1970. I attended Juneau Douglas High School, owned my own contractor's business, a plumbing contractor, and worked for a couple of the local shops in Juneau, and then became a training coordinator. During that time, I've received a certificate for industrial training and a associate degree in industrial training. I was appointed, this will be a reappointment for me. I was first appointed in October 1st of 2010, and I think this would be my fourth appointment. I think the Workers' Comp Board is a very important board. It gives me an opportunity to get back to Alaska. We do three functions on the panel here in Southeast. One is, of course, we do regulation work. One of the most important things we do are hearings, where we get involved in some pretty complicated medical or legal things sometimes. And then we also approve companies that apply for self-insurance through workers' compensation. Those are all done in the Juneau panel. There are two of us that serve Southeast. Of course, I'm the labor seat, and then we have an industry seat, and then our hearing officer. I think that was kind of short and sweet before I start a coughing fit here, so if I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Hey, Austin, thank you so much, or Bradley Austin, I should say, Mr. Austin. Thank you, because I was going to point out that you were the labor seat, but we have a few people three people want to make comments, so you're not off the hook yet. So,
okay.
Actually, Senator Costello was first, so we're going to start with her.
Thank you very much, Brad, and thank you for your willingness to continue to serve. You know, I'm actually just looking at the whole entire board composition, and it looks like about a third of the board members will be new, and you were first appointed in 2010, which was 9 years ago. So my question to you is just what advice or how will you help with the new members that will be joining the board?
Yep, that's a good question. Through the chair, I look forward to working with our new members, and we work really well as a board together, helping each other out. So hopefully I can be a mentor for some of the new members. Was that your whole question? Or was there a second part to it?
Through the chair. It was just an interesting board. It tends to be a large board, and there are several members that have some experience like yourself, and yet we have a whole slate of newer people. And so I was just, you know, kind of curious what your take was on that, with how important the work of the board is, you know, how you'll go about helping mentor those new board members.
Right. So through the chair, I just lost my train of thought here. we work, like I said, we work good as a board. We help each other, and there it's a working board that here in Juneau we have two hearings a month. I know in Anchorage they have more, but there's a lot of work involved. In being on this board, not only attending hearings, but reading settlement agreements. So there's a lot of work. Our new members need to be prepared for working outside, you know, in the evenings and reading 48 page long decision and orders, There's a lot of time that goes into this board.
Thank you very much.
Next, we'll go with Senator Birch, and appreciate that question a lot.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Austin, for your willingness to serve. You got a tremendous resume. You know, obviously our interest is in, you know, from a safety standpoint is to, you know, basically put the workers' comp board out of business, right? I mean, we don't want any injuries. And I was intrigued by your 40 years in Juneau as a journeyman plumber. How have you seen safety practices improve? Have you seen any, hopefully there's been a dramatic improvement over that 40-year period of your professional life. And I'm just wondering how things have changed, or what kind of injuries do you encounter in your experience, and where can we improve through the chair?
Injuries that I've witnessed on the job, or ones that we've heard in hearings, or
on the job. Obviously, you've got a distinguished professional career here, and I'm just curious as to how safety practices improved. Are we doing better? Hopefully, people aren't getting hurt on the job, and I just was kind of interested in your personal observations there.
Yeah, through the chair, I would say our safety records have improved greatly. We have. In our organization, and I know through all of the trade unions, we have safety programs for apprentices and journeymen. I'm pretty sure I had seen a study where, injuries have gone down. I know up on the North Slope, you go through a pretty intensive training program for safety, and I think the trend that we're seeing is safety programs, help lowering the number of injuries.
Great. Thanks. Thank you for your willingness to serve or continue serving.
And last but not least, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brad, I just want to thank you for continuing your service. For those of my members that don't know, this falls under the Department of Labor, and we kind of went out and recruited you and kind of had to twist your arm in it. And you just said, just on one case, 48 pages. There's a lot of work there, and you've been at it for 9 years, and now you're re-upping. But I'd just like to say, just for the committees, a couple of these questions. The department started a real focused campaign under my tenure to get the word out to employers and all workers, union and non-union contractors, etc., on workplace safety, because our work comp is such a tenuous conversation, and we know how hard it is to move the needle to make improvements, because it's political. It is what it is. But with that being said, the department has done such a good job. You can look at those trends. The WSCA worker safety account gets about a 2.75% stipend off from the insurance premiums from work comp insurance. Last year, if you remember, we had to pass a bill because the trend has been going down on workplace accidents. We had to pass a new piece of legislation to allow the multiplier to go up at Division of Insurance. They were running out of money at the department to fund the work comp division. So we're moving the needle the right way. Thank you. And thanks, Brad, for reapplying.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Excellent. And Brad, I just also wanted to say, and I'm sure you heard before, we're probably going to get two or three workers' compensation bills coming to this committee. So just, I know you work long hours and night hours, but it wouldn't be a bad idea for you guys to look into those bills, weigh in, and bring us suggestions, through our office or whoever you're comfortable bringing suggestions through. And with that, thank you for being willing to serve. I'm really glad that Senator Bishop enlightened us and let us know that he was one that helped appoint you many years ago. And thank you for your willingness, again, to serve, knowing how many long hours are going to go into this board. So can you hang on about 10 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay,
yes.
Outstanding. We got two more on this board and a labor relations person. So Diane Margaret Thompson. Please state your name, affiliation, and why you would like to serve on this board.
Hi, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Diane Thompson. I've lived in Anchorage since 1981. I've been in the restaurant business for over 30 years. I currently am one of the owners and manager of Firetap Ale House in South Anchorage. And then previously I've owned Humpy's Great Alaskan Ale House. I sold that in 2000. And I'm also president of the Alaska Hospitality Retailers Association, who we represent the entire hospitality industry in the state. We currently have about 200 members. We were just in Juneau talking about our organization to some of the legislature. I've handled all of the workers' comp claims for when I was at Humpy's and then at Firetap, and I understand the way the system works, and, you know, we've had, here we have about 40 employees, and then we have about another 30 at our Firetap in Tocotno. And I'm interested in getting on the board just to see the other side of how things work. We haven't had very many workers' comp claims here in the last, well, we've been here for 10 years, and I think we've had 3 workers' comp claims, and they, most of them were for cut fingers, which we addressed by providing better gloves for them so that they're not cutting their fingers. We have one that, one claim that was a little bit far-fetched, I thought, but we ended up settling that one. Anyway, that's why I'm interested in getting on the board.
Excellent. I'm going to see if there's any members. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Diane, I just wanted to thank you for your willingness and interest in participating. I think this is a very critical area for many Alaskans, and I think this will be a great effort. And it's good to have a representative of a fine South Anchorage establishment interested in serving on the compensation board.
Thank you.
Excellent. Diane, I'm going to make a quick comment here, too. I love that you have firsthand experience at many locations, so you really understand this. This is a huge issue in our state, and really want to say thank you for stepping up to serve. There's two more. If you can take two more questions, I'm going to start with Senator Costello.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry to add more time to the meeting. But Diane, I just wanted to say thank you for your willingness to serve and your contributions to the state over the years. I think that you would be a great addition to this board and bring a perspective that is going to be valuable. And so I just wanted to publicly thank you for that.
Thank you.
Outstanding. One more, please. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, Diane. It's really kind of fun, I'll use that word, when there's somebody before us that I know. And I want to thank everybody for their willingness to serve, and I want to thank you, Diane, for your willingness to serve, and to tell you how impressed I am with the fact that you have had lots of experience in the workers' compensation area. I wish you well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lots of excitement about people willing to serve on this board. So, Dan, can you hold on about 7 minutes or so?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We've got two more to go. So we're going to go ahead. Sarah Faulkner, please state your name, affiliation, why you'd like to serve on the Workers' Compensation Board, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to introduce myself today. My name is Sarah Faulkner. I've been a resident of Alaska since 1980. My husband and I have owned and operated Land's End and Homer for over 30 years. During that time, we've also owned Van Gilder Hotel in Seward and Kenai Landing in Kenai. And during this time, we've also raised our 5 wonderful children. I want to serve on the Workman's Comp Board for a number of reasons. Employee health and safety are priorities for our business, and I want to do what I can to learn more about these issues and use my knowledge and experience to help others. Secondly, medical costs skyrocketed for business owners, so I want to do what I can to help control these costs within the workman's comp program and ultimately control workman's comp insurance rates and costs. I will be an excellent board member because I am a good listener. I have broad experience across many industries. I have experience with workman's comp audits and claims, and I am good with numbers. I will do my best to properly execute the workman's compensation laws of Alaska. Thank you.
Excellent. We will start with Senator Birch. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sarah, I was just looking at your resume, and I think it's awesome. You're somebody that's got a well-rounded background, and I just get a kick out of looking at your resume, and I'll say, well, yeah, you went to Cambridge, so yeah, you're good in numbers. But I really got a kick out of that you started your career as a bull cook working on a neighbor's Nana camp in Dead Horse, and that's right on. I know that you'll be a good fit for this committee.
Thank you. Outstanding. I don't see anybody else, but I was also going to say, yeah, that's amazing. Anywhere from Harvard to raising five kids to being the Lands End Acquisition Group to being a control accountant to being an accounting program manager, analyst, and having claims. I really want to thank you. You know, having experience in dealing with workers' comp claim is what I was trying to say. Anyway, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open and close public testimony for the Workers' Compensation Board. If you guys can just hold on a minute, then I'm going to jump up to the Dr. Flame and then back to Dennis Moen. So anyway, if you guys can just hold on just another minute or two, I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on the Workers' Compensation Board. Anybody in the room like to testify? I don't see anybody online either, so closing public testimony. So with that, Kimberly Ziegler, Brad Austin, Diane Thompson, and Sarah Faulkner, we wish you the best and thank you very much. And please try to pay attention to some of the bills that are going to be coming through our committee, okay? Really appreciate it, and we wish you well. And as promised, I'm going to go ahead and go up to Dr. Scott Flame at this time with the Board of Veterinary Examiners. I know you have a super tight schedule. And so, Dr. Flame, if you could please state your name, affiliation, a little bit about yourself maybe and why you'd like to serve on the Board of Veterinary Examiners, that would be terrific.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, Chairman. I'm a veterinarian. My name is Scott Flame. I'm from Fairbanks. I've been a veterinarian here in the community for 17 years. I grew up on a farm. I've had multiple experiences in various different boards. I've also worked for Pfizer Animal Health as a student advisor. I've been a part of a lot of change in practice over the last 17 years. Veterinary practice has changed dramatically with the amount of tech. And during all these changes, there's a lot of information and legal responsibilities of veterinarians now more than there ever has, and especially with record keeping and the use of online technologies. And I'm well versed in tech, and I think I could bring a lot to the veterinary board. I would like to serve. I'd like to understand the processes of state government. I've never served at a state level before, and I'm willing to learn. A super hard worker, most veterinarians are. But that's it.
Outstanding. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Hey, Scott. Thanks, Dr.
Hey.
Flame. Thanks for stepping up to the plate. You're the right guy at the right time for this job, and I just appreciate. I was floored. As busy as you are at the practice, I was kind of floored, man, that you have the time. But if you've got the time, that's great, because the state can use you. So thank you.
Thanks.
Outstanding. I think you're going to get off easy with questions today, but you do have Birch rooting for Fairbanks, and I was born in Fairbanks, so I've got lots of supporters up here. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open and close testimony. I know that you're on a super tight schedule, extremely busy, so just hold on a minute, and if you'd like, you'll have an opportunity to have a closing comment. We're opening public testimony on Dr. Scott Flame with the Board of Veterinary Examiners. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify? Don't see anybody online, so go ahead and close it. Dr. Flame, is there any closing comments you'd like to make?
Nope, done. Thank you.
Outstanding. Okay, thank you for your willingness to serve. Last but not least, thank you, Dennis. I want to say you've held on, and we really appreciate it. So we're going to go to Dennis Moen. I'm hoping I'm saying that name for the Alaska Labor Relations Agency. Please state your name, affiliation, and the reason that you would like to serve on the labor relations.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You did say my name right at the moment. Thank you, and the committee members are considering me for the HALRA board. I know it's been a long day, just a little bit about myself. I came up to Alaska in the mid-70s, lived in Fairbanks for most of that time, and then the last 6 or 7 years in Anchorage, and now down in Southeast. I have over 40 years of experience with State of Alaska public employees. I have experience working as a public employee, then I manage public employees for the Department of Transportation, and I represented public employees most recently as a business manager for Public Employees Local 71. And not to take up too much time, but I do have a lot of experience with contract negotiations, contract interpretation, conflict resolution, letter of agreement, grievance resolutions, arbitration, employee training and safety. I recently retired, basically March 1st, and I would appreciate the opportunity to share my experience by continuing to serve Alaskans as a member of the HALRA board. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to start with Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Moen, I think you're qualified. There's no doubt about that. But I just want to talk, one of your, you know, your focus has always been a lot on safety and health and accident prevention, et cetera, et cetera. But the program that you did on the back page is one that I just really, really appreciate, and that's the Kids Don't Float initiative that you've put out. And you can go anywhere in Alaska where there's a dock, and under your leadership, that Local 71 Kids Don't Float program, that's a good one. Thank you.
Outstanding. Okay, super. Senator Birch.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Dennis, Chris here. I just wanted to say I don't think you're doing a very good job of retiring, but I am absolutely thrilled to see you're interested in continuing and volunteering your good work in this effort, and thrilled to have you on board. Thank you.
Outstanding. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, it's fun having somebody on the other side that I know. And I want to take a moment, Dennis, to thank you for your years of service as an employee, and also representing so many public service employees who are the people who provide the services for our constituents. I really, really appreciate that. And after representing 24 members for so long, I'm sure you have a lot of workers' compensation experience behind you. And I want to thank you for applying and wish you well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, excellent input. Dennis, thank you also. It's just amazing, 40 years of a public employee and what you've done for Local 71, contract negotiation, conflict resolution. Maybe we need you down here in Juneau sometime. And I know you really have the inside scoop and your willingness post-retirement to help. So we really appreciate that. I need you to just hold on a few minutes for opening and closing public testimony. Do you have just a few more moments?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I'll let you have a closing comment. This is going to be real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. Anybody in the room like to testify? Doesn't look like it. And I don't believe there's anybody online that I can see. So I'm going to go ahead and close it. So, Dennis, would you like to make any final closing comments?
Yes, thank you again for the opportunity.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for the willingness to serve. We're going to take a brief at ease. I want to wait. On record. So in accordance to AS 3905080, the Labor Commerce Committee reviewed the following recommendation: appointees to be forward. To the Board of Dental Examiners, Dr. John Wohler, the Board of Veterinary Examiners, Dr. Scott Flame, the Board of Nursing, Emily Nicole Henry, Alaska Labor Relations, Dennis Moen, Workers' Compensation Board, Kimberly Ziegler, Brad Austin, Diane Margaret Thompson, and Sarah Faulkner. This does not reflect an intent by any members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during further sessions. So anyway, we're going to take a brief at ease right now to sign paperwork as President Giesel and her staff, Jane Conway, come up to present the next bill on the agenda. So we are going back on record, and today we have Senate President Kathy Giesel and her staff, Jane Conway. Vice Chairman, can I please have a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 44, version 31-LS0019/uniform before the committee as the working document.
Please proceed.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. President Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N. Senate Bill 44 relates to telehealth and physician assistance. I'm carrying the bill at the request of the physician's assistants. I'll also declare up front, while I am a healthcare professional, I am not a physician assistant and have no benefit from this bill. This bill is basically a cleanup bill from some legislation that we passed several years ago. And ultimately, if this bill is passed, it will increase access to care around Alaska. So in 2016, the Senate, the legislature in total, passed the Medicaid Reform Bill. At that time, we allowed physicians to practice telemedicine. That means they could render a diagnosis, provide treatment, and prescribe, dispense, or administer prescription drugs to a person without conducting a physical examination. So this could be done over electronic means. The bill, however, the Medicaid Reform Bill only stated physicians. Therefore, the State Medical Board concluded there was a lack of legislative intent in Senate Bill 74, so it wasn't clear that physician assistants were included also. Therefore, physician assistants have been prohibited from practicing telemedicine. I believe most of you probably know, but there may be some members of the public who don't know, what is a physician assistant? These are clinicians who actually developed out of the Vietnam War. Medics who went to Vietnam and were called upon because of a war scenario to practice very high-level medical care, actually replacing physicians in the war field. They came back to the U.S. and had these skills, and physicians realized these folks would be good collaborative partners for physicians, and so the physician assistant position was created. If you look in your packet, you'll find a document that labels AAPA at the top, and I'm certain this is online for the folks listening. AAPA stands for the American Academy of Physician Assistants. And this document, the first page of it, sadly it's not numbered, but talks about the education and experience of a physician assistant. So they are required to have 27 continuous months of education. Classroom education in basic medical sciences. They do rotations in medical, surgical disciplines, family medicine, internal medicine, general surgery, pediatrics, obstetrics, the whole nine yards. At least 2,000 hours of supervised clinical practice in various settings by the time they graduate. And now almost all PA programs are master's degree programs. In fact, it will be required by the year 2020. After the PA graduates from one of these programs, they have to pass the Physician Assistant National Certifying Exam. So this is a national exam, very similar to what nurse practitioners have to pass also, and then be licensed by the state. Every 2 years, they are required to complete 100 hours of continuing medical education, and they have to take the exam to recertify every 10 years. So I wanted you to know there is substantive education for these folks. You'll also see in your document some pages that are labeled from the Alaska State Medical Board. And these are guidelines for collaborating physicians as well as guidelines for PAs. So a physician assistant must practice under the supervision of a collaborating physician. So they're not out there on their own. They're being supervised. They have to have an active collaborative plan. You'll see that in the State Medical Board document. And that collaborative plan with a physician describes the nature of the relationship, the scope of practice, where they will be practicing, as well as what they can prescribe in terms of controlled substances. So physician assistants do have the ability, the authority, to apply to the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, to obtain authorization to prescribe controlled substances. They may or may not choose to get that DEA number. But if they do, then their collaborating physician also oversees that prescribing authority. So I wanted you to kind of know that background around them. Not included in your packet, but we'd be happy to hand it out, is what the scheduled drugs are or the controlled substances. Physician assistants in the state of Alaska are authorized to prescribe Schedule 2 through 5. So we'd be happy to hand out the document, but it basically describes that Schedule 2 are drugs like OxyContin. Schedule 3 are drugs like hydrocodone. Schedule 3 is drugs with codeine in them, like Tylenol with codeine. Schedule 4 is Darvon. Schedule 5 is Robitussin with codeine in it, just to give you an idea. So... So they have that prescriptive authority. So what would this bill do? The PAs have been subjected to these limitations on doing telemedicine. Their physician partners, however, can. We would like to expand this to include PAs, and that's what Senate Bill 44 does. This would allow physician assistants to practice telemedicine the same way their physician partners do. Who will benefit? Patients. This will increase access to care. In fact, if you look in your packet again, you will see a document from an organization called HRSA, H-R-S-A. That stands for the Health Resources and Services Administration. So this document has a map in it, and you will see on the maps that Alaska is identified as a health professional shortage area, and the dark areas, there's Alaska, the dark areas show the shortage areas. Alaska is so teeny on there, you can hardly see it unless you look at the map. And then the other map shows underserved areas, and again, Alaska is way over here in the corner, and it's the pink areas that are underserved. So this would just increase by about 800 clinicians the number of folks that could provide telemedicine. For rural areas, this is a critical access to care issue. So, Madam Chair, with that, that is essentially what the bill does. It's a cleanup, essentially. And my staff, Jane Conway, can take you through a sectional if you'd like.
Outstanding. I'll see if there's any questions first from any committee members. Senator Birch.
I had a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a question. It's probably very obvious, but why are nurses, who I kind of have in the category, you know, registered nurse as an equivalent to a physician's assistant. Are they already included, or are they not? Why wouldn't this not, or is this already expanded to include nursing professionals?
Thank you for that question, Senator Birch. Through the chair, nurse practitioners have independent practice in the state of Alaska. In other words, we are supervised by no one. We can open our own clinics. We have no limitations on prescriptive authority. We can get DEA numbers. And that's actually been in place since 1983. So we are different from PAs, though we often practice together and do the same kinds of work. It's just that they are still under the state medical board and require supervision.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Casale.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Giesel, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I think it's an important cleanup or correction. I appreciate that you brought up the history of the physician's assistant. I just finished watching a Netflix show on the Vietnam War, and I think that that's really interesting that you include that in your presentation, because you certainly see that many individuals came back from that war with a whole arsenal of experience in the medical field, and I think that was really interesting. I just have a question about the word patient, and I noticed that throughout the legislation, the word patient is replaced with person. However, the last line reflects the term physician-patient relationship, and I'm just curious, is patient defined in statute, or is that just a term that is a commonly understood a term?
In legislation, the word person is used. Patient is more of a medical terminology. Sometimes, in fact, we in medicine call them clients. That you could even call them a client, right? So it's more of a term of art, whereas person is more the legal term. Physician-patient relationship, however, is used in other places in the medical statutes.
Thank you.
At this time, it looks like that is all for comments or questions at this time. So Jane, is that correct? Jane would like to go ahead and go through the sectional, and we are going to ask, if there's five different female voices with microphones in front of them right now, if you could please every time state your name for the recorder, that would be terrific. So Jane, please proceed.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Jane Conway, staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. We have four sections in Senate Bill 44. Section number one amends AS 0864-101A6. That statute governs the duties of the board. It requires the board to adopt regulations for a physician assistant practicing telehealth, and that the regulations must use a recognized national model for standards of telehealth care. Section 2 amends 0864364A, that is the prescribing of drugs without a physical examination statute, by saying that disciplinary action cannot be taken towards a physician assistant for prescribing drugs via telehealth if the drugs are not controlled substances, and if follow-up care can be provided from a medical group or a physician, and if consent has been given by the patient for care and sharing of records to the primary care provider. And then in Section 3, amends the same statute, 0864364B, by saying that a physician assistant may administer, and help me out, Senator Giesel, botulinum toxin, if they meet all the requirements set out in that chapter and is supervised by an appropriate licensed healthcare provider. And Section 4, amending the same statute by renumbering, and adds that a physician or a physician assistant may not prescribe, dispense, or administer a prescription drug via an internet questionnaire or via an email without having a prior relationship with that physician or PA. And with that, those are the four sections of Senate Bill 44.
Excellent. I'm going to see if there's any comments. I would like to recognize some people in the room and also some people that are online. But first of all, I want to see if there's any questions or comments after the sectional. Absolutely. Senator Casale.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. It appears that the guidelines that were written by the board essentially just need to be updated to include PAs now. Has there been any thought of making the legislation effective immediately?
Through the chairs, Senator Costello, I think at the end there is no effective date, so that would make them effective as soon as after the signature of the governor.
Okay, thank you. Senator Birch.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question on the Botox. I have that kind of in the category, not so much as telehealth as what do you call it, cosmetic surgery type stuff. Is that different than is that not permitted now? Or is this a change from what's permitted now as far as Botox administration of Botox in a cosmetic capacity by a non-physician? Through the chair.
Senator Birch, through the chair, the culling out of controlled substance, administering a prescription drug that is a controlled substance or botulinum toxin requires the presence of a licensed healthcare provider who is authorized to administer that medication. Okay. So that's all it's saying here. So now this is, it's the same as the physicians have, that the physician can prescribe, dispense, or whatever, when the appropriate healthcare provider is present with the person to assist the physician or PA in the exam and diagnosis. They call it out separately just because it is, these are heavy-duty medications.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, it doesn't look like we have any other questions at this time, so there's several people. What I'm going to do is I think I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on the bill right now because I'm not sure how these are listed, if they're actually just for questions or if they're actually public testimony. So I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on Senate Bill 44. And as I call your name, if you're just here for questions, I still just want to make sure that people know that you are available. So we'll start with Chris Dietrich, and I believe you're with the Collaborative for Telemedicine and Telehealth. Is that correct? And are you here just to answer questions? Chris Dietrich is his name. Oh. Okay, please proceed.
Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Chris Dietrich. I'm here in person today.
Okay, outstanding. And Dr. Aaron Evans, if you could state your affiliation, that would be great. And if you're here to testify or just to answer questions. Dr. Evans, are you available? Is he unmuted? Okay. We'll go ahead and go to Deborah Stavern. If you could just state your affiliation and if you're here just to answer questions or if you'd like to testify.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This is Deborah Stavern. I'm with the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, and I serve as the Executive Administrator for the State Medical Board, and I'm just calling in to be available for questions.
Outstanding. Okay, super. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to Cherise Hug. Please state your affiliation. It looks like you do want to testify. If you could please do that, that would be terrific. Cherise?
Yes, this is Cherise Hug. I'm with Orion Behavioral Health, and I would like to testify.
Please proceed.
Oh, I get to go first. Okay. So I'm a PA in Anchorage, Alaska, and I work in child and adolescent psychiatry. About half my time at this point is spent in person, and the other half is spent doing telemedicine to remote communities around the state. So we are allowed to do telemedine, but as far as I can't prescribe any medications without having that face-to-face relationship. And so it's kind of created this burden, this difficulty with access to care in remote communities around the state. And the delay can be detrimental to families. So currently, if I provide an evaluation via telemedicine, I see lots of kids in Ketchikan and Prince of Wales, some in Barrow, kind of all over throughout the state. But if I provide that initial evaluation, I cannot start any medication, and it really hinders their ability to start what is necessary for them. What else did I want to say? Sorry. So there's often a delay in receiving appropriate medication and appropriate care. It also creates a lot of travel, so a lot of costs for the state regarding patients coming in, traveling to us to have the face-to-face evaluation, where if we didn't have that requirement, it would be a lot less a lot less money is spent for travel for patients to come in to have that face-to-face evaluation. Any questions?
Senator Birch has a question for you, Charisse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious as to the merits of an audio telehealth connection, or and I've seen video equipment in, I think it was Guyana, where they're doing telemedicine with actually had a video connection, and I was just curious as to how effective it is. Do you have to have a video connection, you know, high speed broadband, or can you do it over a phone line? And I just was curious as to your experience through the chair.
So we use a service that it's internet-based and it is video connection. We have some pretty good cameras, but it depends what they have on their end. The quality of the video tends to be pretty good, and I don't generally have any difficulties connecting with those. Oftentimes we work with other clinics that can establish if a patient doesn't have internet at home or anything like that, they can go into a community office and do the telehealth appointment from there.
Great. A follow-up?
Absolutely.
And in some of these remote locations, there's probably not a Walgreens drugstore down at the corner. How do you go about prescribing or delivering medications in some of these locations? Through the chair?
Sure. So the people who I've done a face-to-face evaluation with and can prescribe the medications, I usually use a mail-out service. Walgreens does some. Bernie's will do it. Different places in town will mail it. South Central Foundation. There's some we cannot prescribe in their system, but we can get their providers on board with the medication, and then they could ship it to them.
That's great. Well, thank you for your testimony and appreciate your service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Excellent questions. Okay, so we're going to Sarah Chambers, are you online just to answer questions at this time? Because I know we're going to be talking about the fiscal note. Through our finance chairman. Finance member. But Sarah, did you have any comments at this time, or are you just here for questions?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. I'm here to answer any questions that might be helpful to the committee.
Excellent. I know we've been leaning on you a lot in this committee. We really do appreciate all your help, Sarah. So I'm going to have a tough time with this next name, and I really apologize. I'm going to spell it because I'm really not sure that I can pronounce it. But it's S-H-I-G-O-N-E, and it's B-E-I-G-H-L-E. So please name affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, so my name is Shigoni, and I'm affiliated with Orion Behavioral Health, which does child and adolescent psychiatry services. And it is pretty much in par with what Charisse had said. About 50% of my patients are pediatric, psychiatric patients in rural communities. I am from a rural community. I grew up in the village of Aniak, which has had a population of 500. And in regards to the needs of pediatric psychiatry, or basically medical underserved, personally would like to share that, at age 13, I lost three peers to suicide. Our school had a population of 50 between the ages of, between the grades of 7 and 12, so the loss of three in 1 year was quite significant. I'm sure that the committee knows that Alaska has the highest rate of teen suicide, and Alaska Natives and rural communities are the highest of those highest rate at like 50% of the population per capita. In regards to barriers to care, we provide care to via telehealth to children all over the state. We set all the way up as far as Barrow, as King Cove, and it has provided a fantastic opportunity that I wish was available for, the depressed teens during my high school years. In general, I can give an example of a child who is under the age of 10, had three depressive stints in North Star, and limited outpatient, as you can imagine, out into the rural areas with a delayed access to outpatient stabilization and care. So regardless of whether or not medications or care was started at North Star or stabilized, maintenance and care is still delayed if my first intake with the child
says, oh, we definitely need to continue your medications, and I can't write for them until, you know, I do a face-to-face, they travel in, which, you know, you're already dealing with an unstable child or a child in need. To be able to have to travel in is expensive and an undue burden if we're trying to heal through crisis or you know, mend ourselves through crisis. So I got into the field of medicine and psychiatry because of the great need in Alaska and my desire to serve the rural population. I'm extremely grateful to the services that Orion provides and investing with doing telehealth the way that we have. It is an undue burden. It is an access that wasn't there before, but the burden still slows us down. We have to see them and then do nothing, which is basically, you know, maybe not being seen and doing nothing is almost the same.
Do you mind pronouncing your first name one more time?
Shigoni.
Shigoni. Shigoni, I don't see any questions other than right at this moment, except I get a caller just a little bit out of the lines because this is a physician's friend. Actually, their son ended up in the ER recently with some issues, and they were holding him with no medications, no help, no intervention at $400 an hour in the ER. And one of the reasons why I'm interested in this bill, and I was interested in hearing this bill, is because this just sparked my interest. This would help reduce some of the abusive costs that I see in the ER. And so anyway, you don't have to speak to that at this point in time, but my office may be reaching out to you in regards to billing and ER issues, because it is a huge issue in the emergency room. And I think these people with psychiatric issues sometimes go through even more trauma when they enter the emergency room. But anyway, neither here nor there. We really want to thank you for your testimony. It was very, very helpful. And next we're going to go to Sarah Bailey. I believe she's in the room. Is that correct? Sarah, did you have any questions, or are you just here? I believe you're here with Alaska Chimera Insurance. Is that correct? That's what they have on here.
Division of Insurance.
Oh, Division of Insurance. Okay, sorry. It doesn't look like that on my screen. So Division of Insurance, Sarah Bailey. Thank you. Next, Emily Ritchie with Alaska Retirements and Benefits. It looks like you are strictly here for questions. Is that correct? Okay, thank you for being here today. With that, is there anybody in the room who would like to testify on this bill? Okay, I do not see anybody. I'm going to go ahead and leave public testimony open at this time because this is the first hearing of the bill. And is there any final comments, Senator Giesel or your staff, that you'd like to make at this point in time?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing the bill. I will call your attention to letters of support. There are 6 letters from Rural Alaska Physician Assistants advocating for the bill. So thanks so much for hearing it today.
Absolutely. Any comments or questions from anybody else? Okay, it looks like, okay, so at this time, we are going to go ahead and set this bill aside, and our office will be in touch with your office, and we will also set a deadline for amendments. I'm going to go ahead and set a deadline right now for Monday at 1 p.m. if anybody has amendments on this bill. And if you could please work with a sponsor, I would appreciate it if you want to work with the sponsor on your amendments and then just get them to my office by 1 p.m. on Monday. That would be terrific. So with that, our next meeting will be taking place at the regular scheduled time, 1:30 on Tuesday, March 19th. We intend to take up several more of the governor appointees, and we will also be hearing some of the governor's bills next week. So with that, we're going to go ahead and gavel out at 2:40 p.m.